We open our Bible tonight in the last paragraph on chapter 9. Even though it was an arranged paragraph, it was not the original. It is in our Bible, the last paragraph of chapter 9, starting at verse 13 in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 9, starting at verse 13. I will read until all the way to the conclusion of verse 21. And then we follow some guidelines to the understanding of these situations in the book of Revelation. And I give you at the end the concept of what I think has really happened. All right, Revelation chapter 9, verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200 million. You know, 200,000 is 1,000 times 1,000, 2,000, 200 and 200 by 1,000, 200 million. 200 million. And I heard the number of them. This is God's army, by the way. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the head of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and a smoke and a brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issue out of their mouth. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and the heads, and with them they do hurt. Verse 20. And the rest of men, or the rest of mankind, should be, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hand, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Just like Jeremiah 5. Neither repent they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their death. I give you a little two pages, actually one page both sides, on my comment on this section of the scripture. Now I want to try to clarify what's going on here. Now these four angels who were bound at the river Euphrates were bad angels, is seen from the fact that they were bound. God did not bound you. God, when he reached you, he freed you, all right? And that they are leaders of commanders of an army of 200 million that was infernal cavalry. This army of 200 horsemen is a supernatural army. It is not composed of ordinary men and horses. The fact that these four angels were bound at the Euphrates, where Satan's seat was in ancient times, and there it is to be again into the city of Babylon restored, and from whence he go out for to do his diabolical work, makes it clear that this army is part of Satan's forces. Supernatural armies are not unknown to the scripture. Horses and chariots of fire separated Elijah from Elisha in the day of Elijah, was taken up in a whirlwind into heaven. And I encourage you to move your Bible to the book of 2 Kings in chapter 2. I want to read for you verse 11. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. So these expressions of the scriptures are not unfamiliar. That means that God used them in the Old Testament. And this is my dedication of this study. I want to know where these things happen in the Old Testament, if they are reoccurring now. Going back to the paper, I have to say that when Dothan was besieged by the army of Syria, God opened the eyes of Elijah's servant, and he saw the mountains around the city full of horses and chariots of fire. And again, that is in 2 Kings, now in chapter 6 of 2 Kings, and I'm going to read for you verses 13 to 17. As soon as I got 2 Kings 6, in verse 13 to 17. And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And then the servants of the man of God was risen early and gone for, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. So these remarkable statements of the book of Revelation, they are not unfamiliar to the scriptures. They are not spiritual mentions here that you can invent it and create some spiritual meaning out of this. That you have to check in the history of the Bible if this is really happened. And this really, really happened. So when the Lord Jesus Christ shall come to take the kingdom, he will be attended by armies of heaven riding on white horses. And it stands to reason, if there is to be war in heaven between Michael and his angels and Satan and his angels, according to Revelation 12:7, I'll show it to you, Revelation 12 and verse 7, there is a big, big problem in heaven. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. So you need to have this in perspective. Satan has his armies, and among the horsemen, and that 200 million horsemen mentioned here are Satan horsemen. For no such an army of ordinary horsemen ever was or ever could be assembled on this earth. This is very unique. Again, the horses were not ordinary horses also. For while their bodies were like the body of a horse, their head were like the head of a lion, and their tails were like unto serpent, and the end of which had the head of a serpent. And it was the sulfurous smoke and fire that issued from their mouth, and the serpentine of their tails that killed all that crossed their path, that revealed the satanic character of the horses and their riders. The riders upon the horses had breastplates of fire, jacinth, and brimstone to match the breath of the horses upon which they rode. You never find in the Bible Satan creating life, don't we? Satan always creates death. Now, on page 67, I said the wonderful things about this invasion of infernal Calvary was the awful destruction they brought. They slew a third part of men. If that means of the whole world, and the present population is 7.7 billion people, then his army destroyed 2,567,000,000 people. Another remarkable thing is that the four angels were prepared for the hour, month, and year. That is, they were waiting for the exact year, month, and day, and even the hour, known only to God. I want you to tell that. There is no place in the Bible that can lead you or anybody to know the day of the hour. And it's interesting. I have a discussion with some people over the phone and family radio about this. They called me and they're trying to explain to me that God, the mankind, who you are the son of a king, and therefore you know the time of the hour. You're the son of a king, and you know a lot of things about God, but you never will know what God can do. See, at what time, exactly time. That's very important. And I left in a very friendly talk, but they invite me for a larger discussion, they said, on the issue. Because very important that I understand it. I do understand it. God has said, God knows the month, the day, and the hour, nobody else. In other words, this is only known to God on which to make the invasion, and not as something to a slave for a year, month, and day, or the total of 391 days, if we're going to add all of these. Known unto God, say Acts 15:18, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. So I showed these people. I said, now, known unto God, known unto man, are all his works. No, known unto us is the way of salvation, but known unto God is his plan. They said, well, we never considered that. Well, consider and call me back, because this is important. This plague of infernal Calvary was for a twofold purpose, retribution and reformation, to punish the idolatry and demons worship of men and their sins of murder, sorcery, fornication, and death, and to keep others from following in their footsteps. But it appears from verses 20 and 21 in Revelation chapter 9, that the residue of men who were not killed did not repent, said the Bible, and turn from their sins, and so were left for later judgment that will come in the next chapters. This army of infernal Calvary, being composed of spirit beings like the scorpions, locusts, will like them be invisible to the natural eye, and therefore cannot be resisted, because the armies of God are invisible. The other armies that God created are invisible. See, those attacks will therefore be without any means of protection, and these will account for the awful destruction of human life, for the third part of man will be killed. Now, these short explanation of these indicate to me that we are not even at the foot of the great tribulation. Because God not only tells you that we will have a great tribulation, but God tells you the things that will happen in that great tribulation. And nothing of these happen. Nothing of these take place. Nothing of the facts that we've been looking over there, the peaceful agreement of one man, the race of one peacemakers and all this. Nothing has taken place yet. They are attempting to have, and people have manipulated names like Hitler and Mussolini and all of these. And no, sir, no. Remember, that, it's important that you remember chapter 6. The first person that comes to open the idea that the Great Tribulation is coming is a man, a political arena, who has peace without God. When that happened, and the entire world is at peace without God, then I know we are in hot waters, because the world will take it. But then, look at the judgments that follow. Nothing like this happened. Sometimes an earthquake happened, and the mountain said, God is judging. I don't know if God is judging or not, but one thing is, that is peanuts compared when God judged. This time, he is not coming with an earthquake and so on. He's coming with real destruction. And God tells you how he's eliminating the earth and preparing this earth for total judgment. So chapter 9 ends with this marvelous vow. And chapter 10, which is next Sunday, is a little book coming in. And so I'm going to explain. I purposely, they are so different, the chapters. That's why I know continues. So I want you to have these in this chapter. God is going to judge the people of this nation. When they see the hand of God, repent, according to verse 20 and 21, they not. Like today, you preach the gospel and people do not repent. So God judged them. And we need to pray for mercy, because God judged them. See, when people do not repent. So chapter 9 concludes with an internal, tremendous work of God. Chapter 10, a little book comes in and for us to study. It's just like a between one section of the concert and the next section of the concert. They have a little place, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, waiting that you relax and get up, and then you go back to the place to listen to the second part of the concert. That's what chapter 10 is. Just a little parenthesis between the awful that is going to come. And a little book is coming, and that little book is very important and very precious to study. So I dedicated for the next class to have a long class on the little book that God is going to show, that God, what God's doing. In his pipe, he's doing judgment on one side, and he's bringing the gospel in the other.